Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from our current message series, and I hope you open your heart and mind to hear a word from God today.
Yeah, we've been going through a huge series. It's taken us probably, when it's all said and done, close to a year to go through. We've been talking about the 10 core values of our church, what God had spoken to us, and what's the heartbeat, the things that we need to keep before us as we move forward, the things that we need to value as a church body together. And this one that we've been working on in January has been the core value of transformation. It's about making progress in our journey with Jesus, that we're not intended to stay the same, that God wants us to grow, especially when it comes to growing in our relationship with Him. It doesn't end. We don't get to a point and go, well, you know, I'll collect Social Security in God's kingdom. I'll just sit back and relax, and I'll get the lazy boy on Sunday mornings. That's why we don't have lazy boys in church, right? If this pastor ever has his way, we wouldn't have pews either, because I don't want you to get too comfortable in the pew, because it's not about sitting in the pew. It's about living for Christ. It's about seeing our life change, and then God allowing our life to help other people change, to connect other people to Christ. Because we don't change people. Jesus changes people. Our job is to bring people along for the journey. Let me introduce you to my Savior. In this series, we've gone on quite some adventures. The really overarching theme here in this process of transformation that we've been talking about is that sometimes it's in the very difficult places in our life that God wants to help us grow and transform. We started off week one, we talked about the blessings in the field and not at the fence post. We looked at the life of Elijah and David and Moses. We talked about the fact that sometimes we worry about missing God, missing an opportunity that He's spoken about in our life, or we feel like if we're not at the fence post waiting that we'll miss out. But we find that in these three men's lives, that it's while they're working in the field that God's called them to, that the next opportunity would show up, that the blessing is in the field. When we're faithful to work in the field God has for us, that God will call us and move in our life. We can't miss God serving Him as long as we're doing so with the right heart in the place where He's called us to serve. We talked about the fact that sometimes we argue with God and we don't want to serve in the field. We want to do what we want to do and then slap a Jesus sticker on it and call it good. But there needs to be a deeper relationship with Christ that He knows best. And that He puts us in seasons sometimes for us to grow. He puts us in the field we need to be in, and He's anointed us to serve in the field that He has us in. In week two, we talked about growing past the sticky points. We looked at the life of Moses and how God empowers us to grow even when we feel like we're stuck. We found out that, look, it's when we feel like we're stuck that we do stupid stuff, and even Moses was guilty of that. That sometimes our emotions get the best of us when we feel stuck, and we say things and we do things that aren't in our best interest or in the interest of others. We looked at and talked about the fact that we can get stuck when we try to negotiate with God. We try to have God work His will in our life on our terms, but that's not how God works. That God calls us to trust Him, and in that trust process, He asks us to surrender. That's a difficult and challenging thing. The big point that we talked about on that week was the fact that when we get stuck, God will always give us a stick, and the biggest stick we have is God's Word. It pries us out of the messiest, stickiest situations in our life if we're faithful to apply God's Word to our life. Because God's Word is like a can of paint. Its power's in its... Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Its power's in its... Come on, it's about us living God's Word, just not quoting it. It's about getting it into our hearts and in our minds, living it out on a daily basis in our homes, our workplaces, and our campus. And then last week, we really went after it. We talked about what to do when the ship is going down. And if you didn't like the title of that message, remember we had the second title in there, I'm glad the shark bit me. And we looked at Paul and the shipwreck that he's on. Here's a guy who's serving Christ. He's working the field that he's in, and that field leads him to be arrested. And after one hard challenge, after another, to the point where it feels like Paul probably just wanted to break. We talked about how sometimes in life we can feel like we're just driven along by circumstances in our life, situations, and sometimes we give up the fight and we just let life take us where it's going to take us, and we have to evaluate that, because God will often use the circumstances in our life to put us right where we need to be, and we don't want to fight God's presence moving us through a passageway, a conduit of life. But at the same point, we don't want to give up the fight and growing with Christ. We don't want to give up the fight of saying that God still wants to use me, God still wants to do something in me no matter what the circumstances, no matter what others might say. We've got to have a little fight in us. And we talked about the way that we get our fight in our life is we got to fix our focus. The things in our life like fear, anger, frustration, all those things are fed by focus, but so is our faith. And we have to choose what we're going to feed in our life. Are we going to feed the fear? Are we going to feed the worry? Are we going to feed our faith? Are we going to feed our hope? Are we going to feed our love? Are we going to feed our compassion? Where do we need to fix our focus on? We talked about the fact that oftentimes when we feel like our life is shipwrecked, when we feel like we're stuck, when we feel like we're going through a circumstance that's so much bigger than we are, we often ask God for a reason. But God's response to that is not that we need a reason, we need a revelation. We don't need a reason for why we're going through this. We need a revelation of who Jesus is so he can bring us through it. God, that's so good. A couple more of you could say amen, okay? That's good stuff. And finally, we talked about the fact that sometimes we just need to shake off the snakes in our life. Paul, after all this and being shipwrecked, but God's word comes through and he's able to stand there and he tells all these guys, hey, we shouldn't have been on this journey to begin with, but God's grace is going to apply. His power is available to us. He's going to bring us through this season. Nobody's going to die on this thing. They run the ship aground. They get on the beach. They're finally celebrating a little bit that everybody's alive. They're going to throw a barbecue. They get the fire started, and out from the fire jumps this poisonous snake and latches onto Paul's hand. It's just hanging there as he's looking at it. And the islanders, remember what they're kind of jerks at this point. They look at him and go, oh man, this guy must be sinning. This guy must be doing something wrong because he survived the shipwreck, but look, justice has found him. This snake will kill him. But we found out that God's promise to Paul was that he was going to go to Rome and stand trial. So he shook the snake off into the fire. And there are times where we have to shake off the snake of the devil's bites and attacks in our life. We just got to shake it off and move on. We don't want to sit there with a snake hanging from our hand all day. Get that thing off. Shake it off in the fire. And sometimes we have to shake off other people's responses and the words they say to us. And sometimes they mean well. We talked about that last week. Sometimes people mean well, but they can say things that really hurt. We can take things the wrong way. We've got to shake those things off because God's got something bigger and better for you. There's a Rome for you still to get to. You can't sit on the beach and just look at the snake that's bit you. You got to shake it off and move forward. The one thing I love about that story about Paul is that after all that, great ministry takes place. Great ministry takes place right there on Malta. In the place where the shipwreck happened, in the conduit of life. And as all this crazy stuff happened, it ends up that people will get ministered to. And who is the person, the conduit that God uses to minister to these people? It's the person that's been going through all the trials and the struggles. It's Paul. The guy who feels beat up, who feels like he doesn't have anything left to give, is the person that God uses. In our life, it's often that way. But how many times are we so focused on us, we miss the opportunity of giving away the greatest gift we have, and that's Christ. Because we're to share the story. We're to talk about what Christ has done in our lives. the last 3 weeks have been about ministry theory. I've gotten up here and I've broken the word apart in three different areas. We've given to you, hey, when you feel stuck, when you feel hurt, when you feel that life is crashing down, when you feel like you've been driven aground, this is what Christ asks you to do. And I've given you a bunch of ministry theory. But today, it's about ministry reality. What does that really look like in real life? And the truth is that it's messy. The truth is that it's tough. The truth is it's emotional. And I know for some of you in this room, this word is, this series has been challenging you, but it's also enabled you to get through a difficult season. Felicia, your dad's very difficult surgery this last week. How did that go? Come on.
Yesterday he was up, he was moving around, he was able to feed himself, so it's going to be a long road to recovery, but so far everything's going well.
Isn't this the word that we've been preaching for 3 weeks? God's not left your family, he's with your family. The Holy Spirit, God's presence, didn't abandon Paul's boat, he was in the boat with Paul. We forget sometimes that God's there with us in the storm. Carol and Dawn, your granddaughter, the other night, if you haven't met their granddaughter, Alice, she is awesome. She was here on for our Christmas service. She was the one that was helping me with the illustrations, and she won that Apple TV, and she afterwards she was like, Pastor, do I need to give this back to you? I'm like, no, it's a gift. We're giving it to you. And but she's been diagnosed with a very complicated medical condition, and I don't have the name off the top of my head. But basically, imagine if your nerves were all mixed up, and so like when you take a feather and you rub it across your palm, the back of your hand, how that would feel for you? It can feel for her like she's running her hand through glass, and she has that condition. Similar to a condition that I have, it's supposed to be in just one area of your body. She has it everywhere. I'm like, girl, I can relate. and so she's been going through that very difficult night, Friday night, but she's back home today because we prayed. God's not left her. He's with her. And I don't know why all this happens, but I know this. He's got a purpose and a reason. He's got a plan for your granddaughter's life. I can't wait to see it unfold in the years to come. And what a blessing she's going to be to others, because if anybody can understand pain, she can. I believe God's going to use her in some tremendous ways to minister to others. So we'll continue to pray for you guys and your family. And I know there are others here today. And for the last several, I don't know, it's probably been 2 years, Loretta Soler and I have been having a conversation about her sharing her testimony and about her son and what her family went through in that process. I don't want to give away anything. I don't want to give all the spoilers away here. And so I'm going to let her share, but we've been talking about it and I kept wanting to say yes. And every time I took it to prayer, God would say, nope, it's not the right time. This last fall, I was praying about it, and I'm like, Lord, you got to say yes to me at some point, or Loretta's not going to like me anymore. And it wasn't until God started laying on my heart this series, and God said, this is how I want to end it. I want to end this series about transformation, showing people that reality is difficult, that it's real, that it's emotional, but that I do not abandon my people. I want you to know this morning, God loves you. He loves you. And maybe in a few moments when Loretta shares, you'll relate to this message. And maybe you're in a similar situation where you feel so overwhelmed by the pressures of life. But maybe you can hear the voice of Christ in the middle of this saying, there's still hope. I'm still here. And I'm not done working in your life yet. So this morning, would you welcome Loretta Soler to come to the platform this morning? She's going to share in a song, and then she's going to share the testimony about the death of her son. So, let's do this. I want to pray before we do anything else. I want to say first, I'm very proud of Loretta for sharing this. This is emotional. Because there's nothing deeper as a parent than having your children suffer. It's one of the hardest things you will ever go through in life. I want to say I'm so proud of you, Loretta, to get up here and share. Lord, we thank you this morning that your word is true. Lord, there is this passage that you gave me this morning out of Psalms. Psalm 66:16. Come and listen, and I will tell you what the Lord did for me. Lord, as Loretta shares this morning, Lord, it's just not her story that she's sharing. It's just not her son's story that she's sharing or family members' story. It's your story of redemption. It's your story of hope. It's your story of forgiveness. It's your story that you will not abandon us, that you will help us, and you will help us grow through some of the most challenging times in our life. I ask for your anointing on my sister Loretta this morning as she shares. May she share boldly. May she share strongly, and may your spirit be upon her this morning, that the words she speaks are not her words, but the words of the Father. We thank you for this testimony this morning we're about to hear. May the ears of everyone who hears it be ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eric. Good morning. Before I share my testimony, I want to sing the song, He Giveth More Grace. He giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials, His multiply peace. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Amen. Well, the title of my little talk is To God Be the Glory for the Great Things He Has Done. My name is Loretta Soler. My husband David and I, Lord willing, will be married 50 years on March 20th, 2020. The Lord has blessed us with 4 children, 3 sons and a daughter, and I got 2 sons here today and a grandson. Thank you for coming. Michael, Jonathan, Michelle, and Jason. We have 6 precious grandchildren. Amanda, Jacob, Hannah, Leo, Lily, and Lucy. I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 15 at the Alto Reformed Church, and I am also a Spirit-filled believer. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16, verse 33. August 24th, 2014, we had our world rocked. Our oldest son, Michael, age 43, was found stabbed to death 38 times. He was brutally murdered and robbed. It was like a bad nightmare. He had been dead for days. The manager of the hotel, Ken Reese, noticed his car missing, and he checked it out. He found Michael dead and notified the authorities. He was a friend of Michael. My last conversation with Michael was before the annual Fader family picnic. I called him and asked him what he wanted me to make, and he told me the tater tot casserole recipe. I made his special dish, but he never showed up. Our hearts were broken as we love Michael deeply. I know we have prayed and prayed for Michael. He was a person who was labeled borderline mentally retarded. He graduated from Ripon High School. He did marry, but the marriage ended in divorce with no children. He always wanted to be self-sufficient. We as parents saw people take advantage of him over and over again, and that broke my heart. After this all happened, before the funeral and all the preparations, I got alone with my Jesus and poured out my heart to him. The Holy Spirit led me to Psalm 119. I read the whole chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, as you all know. Well, the very last verse, Psalms 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Wow. That verse brought peace to my heart. I don't think I ever read that scripture before. Or if I did, it did not mean anything to me at that time. In our dining room, we have a large picture of a shepherd with a sheep on his shoulder, and it's called The Lost Sheep. You know, God is so amazing. When you seek him, he shows up. That picture always made me think of Michael, our lost sheep. Our son was stabbed 38 times, and the authorities said he bled to death. Our daughter Michelle said, "Mom, he had time to call upon the name of the Lord." We brought him up in the ways of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We dedicated Michael to the Lord when he was a baby. He attended church with us, Sunday school, youth group, Royal Rangers, and went to Spencer Lake Bible Camp in the summer. But later in his life, he did some straying. God's word says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I made a note in my day timer. September 29th, 2013, Michael came to church, and he sat over in this area. And at the end of the service, Greg asked for those who wanted to follow Christ or rededicated themselves to the Lord to stand up. Well, Michael, he stood up. Praise the Lord. When we met with the investigators, we told them we would be praying for them. Michael's car was found in Milwaukee in a bad part of town. Answer to prayer. They found a receipt from Walmart in his waste paper basket in his room. Authorities looked on surveillance at Walmart, and Michael was seen with a woman. There went out a warrant for her arrest. She turned herself in. Priscilla McHenry admitted to killing Michael. Answer to prayer. God answered prayer for the funeral as well. I prayed for the Lord to bring something good out of all of this. Our son-in-law, the Reverend David Rumley, was an executive pastor at the First Assembly in Normal, Illinois. He no longer holds that position. He conducted the funeral. At first, I thought this would be a lot to ask of him, but he said he would be glad to have the service. He presented the gospel in a powerful way, and there were people who responded for salvation. Answer to prayer. He had a long, thick rope and showed our lifespan. It's only about this long.
and the rest of our lives. And the rope went out into the foyer area. That's where eternity is. Where will you spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? I know our lawyer attended, and he said he would never forget that funeral. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house, Acts 16:31, to spend eternity in heaven. David also shared Michael's story at his church in Normal, Illinois, and there were people who responded to the gospel, answer to prayer. We have had to go to various court situations in Juneau as the murder was committed in Dodge County. Around Christmas 2014, I felt I needed to give Priscilla a Christmas card. I bought a nice card and also enclosed it with a daily bread devotional. I also wrote her that we as a family forgive her for what she did in taking our loved one's life. I told her we forgive because Jesus forgave us of our sins. For we didn't, if we didn't forgive her, the Lord wouldn't forgive us. I told the district attorney about the Christmas card and wanting to give it to Priscilla. He told me to give it to her lawyer. I did, and he said he would have to open it and look at the materials inside. I said, fine. So we don't know if she received it or not, but I was obedient to give her that Christmas card and daily bread. That's why Jesus came. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19, verse 10. The court system was very slow, so our worst days are before us, but Jesus is already there. I continue to pray for Priscilla McHenry every day. She is a soul that needs Jesus. God's word says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. At any moment, we can talk to Creator God, who spoke the universe into existence. Not only are we welcomed into his presence, but we are invited to enter boldly. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, God does answer prayer. On September 17th, 2015, so it's over 5 years ago already, Priscilla McHenry was sentenced in Juneau, Wisconsin. It was a six-hour hearing. There were 10 people from our church who supported us, my two brothers, Butch and Bruce Billy, and our children, John, Michelle, and Jason, and my husband, David. So many people were praying for us, too. I could feel their prayers. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It was Jim and Carol Conkle's 55th wedding anniversary, and they were there for us, special friends from our church. Another scripture that comforted us, Psalm 89, verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. I had opportunity to get on the witness stand in the court with my husband and children behind me, stating we forgave her because if we did not forgive her, the Lord would not forgive us, the Lord's Prayer. And Matthew 6, 14 and 15, this is after the Lord's Prayer. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The judge said he never heard that before. Our son-in-law, the Reverend David Rumley, helped me to construct that letter that I read. Priscilla is behind bars at Tichita for 20 years probation. They wanted to get her off on a less years as she has sickle cell anemia. We also forgave her this past year of her $11,000 debt. She owed us. She stole Michael's car. $4,000 to $5,000 cash Michael had in a locked tin box. He was saving up for a car. and TV and other things that she stole. She didn't steal Michael's class ring, as I wear that, in memory of him. We were getting small checks for $6. I said to Dave, let us forgive her of this debt. So I wrote to the prison authorities and told them Priscilla did not have to send us any more money. The debt was forgiven. When you hear on TV, this one was stabbed, another person was shot, you don't think anything of it, do you? Until it happens to your family. We are so thankful that we have closure to Michael's murder. Many don't have that. That was a huge answer to prayer. Our hearts are broken over the senseless murder of our son. God's word says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Life is full of choices, and Michael made a bad choice. I pray for Priscilla McHenry every day. She needs the Lord. She needs to ask Jesus to forgive her for killing Michael and to forgive her of her sins. Although justice needs to be served, she committed burglary and took another's life. There is a penalty for that, and she is now serving her time. We have no regrets in how we treated Michael. He taught me a lot about God's love. It never fails, and it doesn't end. We were often disappointed in choices Michael made, but I knew we still needed to keep on loving him. Love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says, and above all things, have fervent charity, love among yourselves, for charity, love shall cover the multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8, and also James 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I have had opportunity on various bus trips that we go on to tell Michael's story as the Lord leads me. Some have said they would not forgive as we did as a family. Jesus, our example, while hanging on that old rugged cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23, verse 34. If you have a loved one who is wayward, keep on praying for them and keep loving them. The hotel where Michael was murdered has since been torn down. It was on the corner of 73 and 33 by Randolph. We asked the farmer who owns the land if we could put a cross on one of the trees. He said we could. So there is a white cross on one of the trees and on it a brass plate with Michael's birth date and date of death. I'm so glad we had the Lord in our lives to help us through this trial. The Lord is with us even in our messes. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13, verse 5 says. And the Bible also says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, Matthew 5, 22, 44. And also Ephesians 4, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. These verses are very hard to do, but the Lord will give you the strength to do it. If there is someone in your life today that you need to forgive, please do it. Obey the Lord, and you will be free. Amen.